What is your ideal life? What is an ideal life in your opinion? What is life in your opinion? How do you see life as human? Parents, what's your plan for your children? How do you want to see them grow? Well, general public may think of or imagine children, they would complete their schooling, get a decent job, good paying job, and have family, get married, have a family, and then enjoy retirement at good old age. That is the ideal, general, ideal kind of life that many people would see. Or whatever in between of those, that is what they may desire in this world. Your children may choose white collar job, blue collar job, or green collar job. What is green collar job? Those who are working in the environment, I don't know, but accordingly they are called green collar job. But whatever job they may choose, their earnestness, steadfastness, resiliency, enthusiasm will be put to test for sure. And if you choose a career that you say you love so much, pray for resiliency. Lord, give me a resiliency that I may persevere. Pray for that, that you may persevere even when struggle persists. Now, when you did your best, the best you can do at workplaces, the best you can do wherever you are situated, still someone is not pleased with what you do in your work. Have you experienced that? There are still people who say, that's not enough. You can do better than that. Or they would say, it's not bad, meaning you just did what is average. Well, how did you react when people are not pleased with your work? This is a reality of life. No matter how we may want and try to live peacefully, the best way we can, there will be people that we cannot please. Agree? We cannot please everybody, so they say, right? Do you have any idea why? Why is that? Why is it that we cannot please everybody? Well, these disturbances of peaceful life, they are practical proof of bad elements in the invisible spiritual world. Together, let's learn from what the Lord Jesus Christ had declared in John chapter 10, verse 7 to 10. Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Christ Jesus our Lord plans, wants us to have life to its fullness, but there are people who would still destroy that abundant life that the Lord plans for us. And whatever Christ declares, it surely happens. He warned against thieves, and he offers solution to believers. This solution, he said, I have come that they may have life to the full, have it in the to the full. It is only for believers. It's not for all. He offers to all, but only believers will experience it. Because if we do not believe him, it won't happen. When we obey the instruction of Christ, could we find pasture in its fullness that he promised? If we obey our Lord, will we experience that life in its fullness that he promised? Thieves will try to steal, they will try to kill, they will try to destroy our peaceful life. So it is wise to be mindful always, and let us be on our guard prayerfully. Don't be complacent. Keep on. When everything is shiny, sunny, later in the next few days it will rain. It will rain according to the weather forecast. It's sunny today, but storm is coming. It's kind of a reality of life. When everything is doing great in our lives, make sure there will be thieves who would destroy that sunny day of our life. So let's be on our God prayerfully. Let's read again verse 17. Let's read. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. The secure position meaning eternal security. But is it possible that we will fall away from eternal security? It did not say that we will fall. The problem is, are we assured eternally? We just cannot be complacent. We need to make sure. When we persevere, that is when we know we are secured. But if there's no perseverance and we are shaky, it means it may not be that you are not secured yet. We are advised to be on our guard, to be watchful, to be careful, to be assured that we are secured spiritually, eternally. So if there's that doubt in your heart, don't just shake it away. It means it's a warning. It's kind of like a signal light for us to make sure that we are secured eternally. So what should we do? Ask the Lord. Lord, increase my faith. I don't like this feeling. I don't like this doubt in my heart. I want to be secured. I want to be assured that I am going to be with you, to live with you in heaven eternally. Make sure of that. The creation of the internet is one thing that may have exposed the vulnerability of humanity. There are many victims of scammers. But do you require any proof? Have you seen a scammer? Have you seen somebody who is scamming? Defrauding others in the internet, have you seen one? But do you require that practical proof? I need to see, to believe, to agree that scammers exist. It is better to learn from the mistakes of scam victims. It's far better than to disregard the existence of scammers. Agree? Can you agree? To agree or to disagree, it won't eliminate the existence of scammers. Scammers may scheme anywhere undetectably. Similarly, bad elements of darkness will try to deceive anyone. I haven't seen anyone, you may say, but it is better to learn from the mistakes of others. Scripture warns us to be aware of false teachers who deceive victims. Someone published in the social media, biblical messages are not very popular. Only a few attends. But popular sermons that are not biblical, many would attend. I don't know why, but there are more people who are deceived. Does that sound pessimistic when we say, be warned and be aware of false teachers? Individuals who heed warnings have good understanding. And it's foolishness to disregard warning. It's foolishness. Be sensible or regret. Few days ago or some time ago, there are some fishermen. Have you gone fishing? Have you been fishing already? Did you catch something? There are some fishermen, they travel to find a place where they may catch fish. They travel. They come near the shore, and the ground was damp. The ground was slippery. So they back off, drop to another place, another fishing spot. The next fishing spot that they want to go to, they observe from a distance. There's this pickup truck struggling to get out of the mud along the shore. But a few moments later, the pickup truck got out of the mud. That's good for the driver. But it's horrible to get stuck in the mud, right? You don't like that. You don't like that situation. That worrisome situation made the fishermen aware of possibility that they might get stuck in the mud. If that pickup truck, huge pickup truck, struggled to get out of the mud, how much more if their car was a small one? Learn from others' mistake. So those fishermen decided not to proceed there. They went home without any catch, but I suppose they feel at peace that they didn't get stuck, they didn't put themselves in undesirable situation of getting stuck in the mud. Right? What do you think? It is smartness to be cautious. That's smart. They say it's common sense, but not everyone has that. It's not really common sense. It's the grace of God. If you can use that common sense, if you observe something and be aware of that, I believe it's the grace of God, not just common sense. If it is common sense, why is it that there are still people who get stuck in the mud? Attractive situations don't necessarily appear to be dirty or miry or muddy. Have you seen someone who got stuck in the mud, practically or spiritually? Do you have friends? Do you have relatives? Do you have acquaintances who struggle to get out of a miry, muddy situation? Let's learn from the testimony of King David. King David had testified in Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 to 4. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, set my feet on a rock, and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Frequently, we are not very mindful. Many times we are complacent and we find ourselves in difficult situation. Maybe not us, maybe our loved ones. Loved ones who struggle, friends who struggle. When our loved ones and our friends suffer, we are affected because we care for them. What can we do? What can we do? Pray and wait. Wait patiently for the Lord. We rely upon the Holy Spirit of God to enable us to wait patiently for answers to our prayer. That perseverance during dramatic situation, we have that perseverance, we sense that perseverance to wait patiently. It proves faith in Christ. It proves faith. It is by the grace of God that we believe. It is by the grace of God we believe we are saved from eternal torture. His gift of faith helps us trust that God provides solution to difficult challenges of life we may face. Many people would say, I have faith in God, I have faith in God, but when situation comes, when difficult situation comes, they don't have patience, they don't have peace. It's easy to say you have faith, but make sure you have proven you have faith. You have that perseverance, you have that patience, you have that peace, even when there are difficult situations, hard situations. We wait patiently for the answers of our God. The gift of faith helps us trust that God has already delivered solution to problem, to difficult challenges of life we may face, but His timing, we believe that it's right on time. It's not delayed, and it's not advanced. Right on time, in His perfect time. So pray for increase of faith. Pray to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's read again verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. It's easy. It's very simple to understand, right? Grow in the grace. But what is that? How should we explain grace of God to a child? What's grace? Well, I have a classmate named Grace. Grace is a good singer. Grace is a very nice person. Grace, I know. But what is the grace of God? Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. It's free. We do not need to do anything for God to give His grace. He generously gives freely without payment, without requirement to anyone. He favors. That's the grace of God. And deeper knowledge of the grace of God should lead us to seek His favor. The reason not many people would seek the Lord even in struggle is because they don't understand the grace of God, or they haven't experienced much of the grace of God because they ignore God. And as we grow deeper in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord Jesus Christ, we appreciate His grace, so that we should desire more, want it more, pray to have frequent access of His grace. I want more of His grace. I want to experience much of His grace. But what comes to mind when we declare Christ as Lord of Lords? Jesus is Lord. You hear it from everyone. Jesus is Lord of Lords. We sing, it's beautiful. But what does it mean when we say Jesus is Lord of Lords? How much do you believe? How much do you know of Jesus as Lord of Lords? As Lord, Christ graciously provides for our needs. The idea of being Lord is to be authoritative, something like that. That is the idea of Lord in this world. But Lord, Jesus Christ, Lord, He is authoritative, but He doesn't force us to do anything. It is by faith we obey. He provides for our need so that we will be able to do what He wants us, He requires us to do. May it be spiritual, may it be practical, even financial. That when the Lord says, when the Lord commands, give my tithes in your offering, He provides for that. It's not from us. Why do you give if you don't have, right? He gives so that we can give in finances, intellectual. For us to be able to explain, He gives that intellect. If we just cannot explain, don't try to explain anything you cannot. But ask the Lord, Lord, give me how I may explain, how I may comfort anyone who is suffering from problem, somebody who needs comfort. What should I say, Lord? Give me wisdom. Don't just provide anything that comes out if you didn't ask the Lord. It may come from somewhere, from anybody that have posted in the internet, but ask the Lord, which is which? Which is the right word that I should say? Children would say, it's hard to study. Our students, it's true, it's hard. But when you pray and you get the grade you have, don't complain if you didn't feel perfect. Maybe that's enough for you. Maybe if you have perfected everything in your exam, it could make your heart very proud. Yeah, I am very good. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, for the wisdom. So that's the reason the Lord provides just the exact amount that we need for us to remember him, to praise him. Or relational needs. How do I relate with my seatmate, my office mate, my neighbor, or somebody else? If you don't know how, maybe the Lord is warning you, don't be too close to that person. I don't know. But if you are very good, don't just force yourself to be a friend of everybody. It's not very good. Your time would be consumed if everyone is your friend, right? It's not very good. Even the Lord Jesus, among the 12 apostles, he has 3 circles that he asked them to go with him. He didn't befriend everyone, although he ministered to everyone that comes to him. Because it's time consuming too. So don't be, maybe you trying to befriend everyone so that you have a lot of likes in your Facebook. That is not very good too. I don't know. And if we don't know how, when the Lord provides solution to problems and we don't know how to use the problem he provides, well, how about that? The Lord has already provided solution, but we don't know where to access that solution. We don't know how to use that solution. Pray for wisdom. God saved us from eternal torture. We believe that. We claim that. If eternal torture, we cannot do anything. He saves us. Christ saves us from our struggle in this world so that we may faithfully trust him. Can you accept that? Several years ago, there was this family of missionary. The father went to short-term mission, but the family were left behind. They stay home, and they attended church. The children were young, and then after attending a church, young children were crying. They were hungry. Mother was very sorry that she cannot buy them food. What did she do? Son, child, this is the only money we have. Money we can have for us to go home. Only fare for taxi or whatever ride they would so that they can go home. That's the only money they have. But they continue to serve the Lord in their calling. Then the Lord blessed them financially. More than they can ask or imagine. They look back to that situation of financial struggle, especially that day when their children were crying, they were hungry. What can they do? Praise God. Sometimes God allows us to be in a struggle, a difficult situation, so that when his grace is showered over us and we overcome, solve that problem, we look back to that problem and say, Lord, we are not here if it's not you. Immigrants, if you look back your life at the Philippines, maybe some of you have better life in the Philippines than being here, I don't know. But if you look back, if your life has been better compared to the past, would you say that you cannot help but praise the Lord faithfully and keep serving Him? If you experience God's grace that much, you would serve Him in the calling He had for you. Let's reflect on what Peter said in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Let's read this again. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through this He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desire. Now, how should we explain this to ordinary listener? The Lord has given us everything we need for a godly life. For a godly life. Everything we need for a godly life. Not everything we need for luxurious life or whatever kind of life. Can you accept that the term everything includes material things and not just spiritual things? Everything we need to praise Him, to be godly. Everything we need to testify of the power of God. Everything we need to testify of His grace. How He provided for believers, faithful believers. The Lord has given, He has delivered. When it says, His divine power has given us, that's past participle. Past participle. If you are a grammarian, you know that it was already delivered. It's on your doorstep. Open your door and pick up that everything. But how? It's by faith, of course. We don't know. So ask the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom that I may know where you have put that everything for my godly life. Did you get it? Have you received everything you need for a godly life? By His grace, we grow deeper in our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we grow in our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, we escape from the control of evil desires. We look forward to rich welcome to His eternal kingdom. That is what we look forward. Although we do everyday things we do, our mind is focused on the coming of the Lord. We will cherish His glory starting now, from now on, until forever. Let's read again verse 18. But grow in the grace, knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Now, what do you understand about glory? Christ endured the torture in the cross. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We believe that. Took away our sins. The Lord nailed them with Jesus Christ on the cross. Do you believe that? But sin still controls us sometimes. Did God remove that sin from us? The sin, by faith, should not control us anymore. But if it still influences us, it's like a barking dog. The dog is barking, and you are scared sometimes. But the dog is not biting you, just barking, just to scare you, Sometimes that's how this sin works. It influences us. It pressures us until we give in. Do you seriously embrace that the crucifixion of Christ was the greatest proof of His grace, God's grace and love for us to enjoy His grace now until eternity? Do you seriously embrace that? Do you seriously believe that? Christ sacrificed because of His great love for us. If Christ can sacrifice because of His great love, what else is left that He won't give us? Have you internalized that? If your life was transformed ever since you believe in Christ, it's your testimony. That is your bragging rights, if you would like to use that. You brag about that. Only you can experience that. Only you can sense that. If Christ is willingly sacrificed to save us from eternal punishment, there is nothing He withholds for our betterment. What do you think? Nothing. But there's a reality. Here is the reality. Not everything we want, God would grant it, right? But when God do not grant, when the Lord do not give us, or maybe not yet, He has better choice for us. Can I accept that? Lord, I want a Lamborghini. Lamborghini. So that I would drive a Inkster, and the neighborhood, when everybody's sleeping. Oh, that's pastor. The Lord do not like that. That's the pastor of Inkster. Inkster. The Maples Evangelical Church. He's so loud, right? The Lord do not want that. But I'm telling you this because even if I'm joking, somebody said, joke is half truth. Maybe deep inside me, I really like to have that car. But don't give me Lamborghini, okay? If you are thinking about that, don't ever plan about that. I'm just saying this. I'm warning you. Now, the things that He allows us to have or acquire or attain or achieve, He allows it to be practical proof of His grace. Those are the things, because He wants us to praise Him, to glorify His name, that His name be glorified in our lives, so that when others see us, observe us, see how we live, they would praise God too. Our behavior, our attitude, and appropriately, that glory belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ now until forever. We rejoice now until forever that we believe in Him. The privilege to be eternally amazed of His glorious reign, we eagerly wait. Now again, what is that glory that we eagerly wait, look forward to? How does the glory of Christ matter to believers? How do we simply explain the glory of Christ to ordinary citizen, to ordinary listener? How do you explain that? Now, have you watched the basketball last night? There's this constant debate among sports enthusiasts. Who is the GOAT, the greatest of all times player? Who is the GOAT in basketball? Who is the GOAT in baseball? Who is the GOAT in football or hockey or in boxing or billiard or any other sports? Who is the GOAT? Everyone in the sport worlds have their own favorite player, even if that person may not be the GOAT of others, as long as that person would be the GOAT for him, for her. They choose the greatest of all times player based on their own criteria. And that's why they are hostile when others cannot agree with them. They are hostile when somebody said, oh, this is the goat because he has this and that. No, this is the goat because he has this and that. And they quarrel. Why are enthusiasts in sports so engaged? They are engrossed. They are so preoccupied in defending their favorite player to be the greatest in sports. What's the point? What's the point if what you choose is the goat? What's the point? Maybe that person do not even know you. Well, though they crave that bragging rights that their choice was selected, what is bragging rights so important to them? Why is it so important, that bragging right? That negative message of bragging right, if you take it in the positive side, that is the glory of Christ. We want to brag about Christ, even if bragging is not a very good word, but that is the connotation of it. When we glory, we just cannot conceptualize, we glory in Christ. Instead, we brag in Christ. Is it biblical? If it is not good, why do scoffers deny that the Lord Jesus Christ? Why are there people, false teachers, would like to deny the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do they mock his premises? Why do they try to disprove him? What benefit can they get in disproving the Lord Jesus Christ? But for us believers, ever since you trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have you ever experienced his power, his grace, and love? Have you? If you look back, if you imagine now, what is it that you would say that you experience the power of God, of Christ, his grace and his love for you? Do you have that? That is your bragging right. Only you can have that. Specifically, personally, for you. I thought, boasting is not very good. Yes, it's not very good, but there is something that is good in boasting. And the Lord had decreed about boasting, actually, in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. Let's read meditatively. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth, for in this I delight, declares the Lord. You have something to boast about Christ. Boasting or being proud of anything that is human survival nature. We desire respect. We crave respect of humanity, of our humanity, of our ability, that people may, wow, he's really good in basketball. Wow, he's really good in academics. Wow, he's really good in fishing. Wow, he's really good in billiard. Wow, he's really good in cooking. Wow, he's really good in painting. What else? In many things, simple things. They want to be called, wow, he's really good in cleaning. Yeah, he's really good in washing dishes. Not many people would like to hear about that. Yeah, he's really good in ironing clothes. In the academy, you need to iron your clothes very well, or else you would be in trouble. When we reach spiritual maturity of Apostle Paul, we can personalize, internalize what he testified about his personal experience of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He stated in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 11, let's read this. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Reflect if you are nearing the spiritual maturity of Apostle Paul here. Are you willing to lose all things that you have accumulated just to serve the Lord all your life? What is the most precious thing that you have? And the Lord said, give it to me. Just imagine and sense in your heart, am I willing to forget that thing? If Jesus Christ calls you to serve in full-time ministry, are you ready to respond? Surely God won't give us decision that may cause us to disregard him. God has called us to participate in his mission purpose, but not necessarily full-time ministry, not necessarily career missionary or career preacher. Pray that the Lord may clearly reveal how you get involved more effectively in his mission purposes. Together, let us seriously reflect on this personal challenge for everyone. This is a personal challenge. What is our spiritual goal in life? How are we preparing for eternity? Are you concerned about eternity? Personally, how, as long as the Lord keeps me alive, this is my personal appeal to the Lord. I appeal to the Lord that he would enable me to store up much, much eternal treasure for myself in heaven. That's my appeal to the Lord. As long as he give me, extend my life. Here on earth, we accumulate much wealth. Anyone may accumulate much wealth. Even the richest person in the world, they were planning to give all half of their fortune to the charity. That's how they plan. What's the use of accumulating billions, trillions of dollars? What's the use for it? The Lord gave them that desire to have that much of money so that they would create more jobs. It's for them. How about you? We cannot bring worldly wealth in heaven. Think about that. When the designated time that comes, that the Lord would let us leave this world, we also leave wealth behind for others to enjoy. Have you enjoyed your wealth? It is eternally smart to store up treasures by obeying the Lord. Obedience to the Lord, we need to be prayerful to know what the Lord wants us to do. Even if what the Lord wants you to do is to listen to a problematic friend or just your presence to be a friend that has problem, that would be enough for you for that day, probably. Now, who won last night? Whose team won last night? We rejoice, right? We rejoice when our favorite team won the game, win the game. When our favorite team become champion, when the Raptor become champion, 2019, not this year, we rejoice. And there's Winnipeg Sea Bears. Oh, hopefully they are starting, and maybe they will become champion in their first year. I don't know. Winnipeg Sea Bear. And they have that trophy. They bring that trophy. Look at the trophy out there. Wala na, tinapon na. Look at the trophy. Where the trophy? They won. They struggled hard to win the trophy. And then you just go put it in the garbage? Why is that? Well, it's not gold. But the trophy in the basketball world, accordingly, it's gold. It's worth million. So, but where will they display that trophy? Of course, they display wherever they want to be displayed, but not in my home. Not in my home. Although I cheer for them when I was watching for them, not in my home. They would not allow it to be displayed in my home. Similarly, we rejoice. We rejoice when believers obey the Lord, when believers store up treasures in heaven. When they cherish eternal treasure in heaven, we may be rejoicing with them, but will they share it communally with others? Many individuals believe that life in heaven will be blissful, right? Wonderful, blessed, wonderful, blissful. Blissful is not commonly used, but blissful is something that you would be very excited, happy, and glorious experience. That's blissful. So why did, if life in heaven is blissful, why did God, Christ command us to store up eternal treasures in heaven for ourselves? Why? I don't know much. But this is the idea that comes to mind. Our eternal treasure in heaven would prove when others would see our eternal treasure in heaven, they would see how much diligent we have obeyed the Lord. So we don't have equal eternal treasure in heaven. The eternal treasure would be proof of our diligence, and they would praise God because of your diligence in obeying the Lord. That is your bragging right, if you would like to use that. That is how you may share in the glory of Christ because you obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. Our eternal treasure should cause joyful praise and thank of God even more. Even in this earth, you would sense that. So keep obeying the Lord, storing up eternal treasures for yourselves, and pray seriously that you may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's stand up and let's pray.